Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people deliver truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. And again, I get to welcome a new broadcast partner, but actually she's a longtime partner of mine because Marlis and I work with the SEMA International organization doing specialized assessment. Welcome to the show again, Marlis.
Thank you.
You bet.
Good
well,
to be here.
You betcha. Well, I'm taking us back now to probably, if you can imagine, Marlis, it's been April 2008 when you and I did our first show and got a chance to talk about your great book. So it's happy to have you now coming on a standing basis with me.
Well, thank you. And it is amazing how time does fly when you're having fun, right?
Either that or when you're unconscious, I think. Let me offer a brief intro. Marlis Hansen is Managing Director of SEMA International. Her specific practice focuses on consulting with organizations to put talent management at the top of the agenda, coaching managers for their critical roles in managing talent, and then also preparing individuals to manage their own careers. Marlis brings a seasoned perspective of having worked at internal manager with and then consulting for more than 25 years with numerous multinational Fortune 100 companies, top government agencies, and mid-sized companies, as well as entrepreneurial teams. Her job fit products, based on the concept of matching strengths with work requirements, are unique in the field of talent management. And as a result of her work, several of her clients have received national awards, indeed, for excellence. And as I mentioned in the intro, of course, there's her book out there that's called Passion and Purpose, How to Identify the Powerful Patterns That Shape Your Work and Life. Well, Marlis, we wanted to touch today on this whole concept of, gee, how can I be better informed to make that right decision about either going back to school or indeed a college major? But maybe you might want to talk first about how you're seeing a shift in your business, not just working with corporate clients, but now individuals wanting to step up and invest in themselves in this space of personalized assessment.
Well, as you mentioned, much of our work has been with organizations and, of course, with employed individuals in helping to align and develop talents. But more recently, we're seeing individuals who are coming to us for a slightly different reason, and that is for help in choosing their college major. And I think there are, you know, probably some pretty obvious reasons for this surge in this type of client. One certainly is a highly competitive job market. So that's commanding everyone's attention. And, you know, even graduate degrees from the most prestigious institutions don't guarantee jobs and careers. So everyone is really paying more attention to these choice decisions than at an earlier stage. So there's a lot of that. And then, of course, this increased cost of training and education, whether it's public or private or even a trade school. So, you know, switching careers, changing majors can really be very costly. And the National Center for Education has some new statistics out that really says, you know, the traditional 48 months to complete a bachelor's degree has grown to being about 55 months now, and that's pretty pricey. You know, when you look at the per our ticket for training and education.
You bet, and of course, and then, so the key here, of course, is then when you do make that decision, you really want to make sure you're being as discerning as possible so you don't have to change midstream again.
Absolutely. And then there's all the psychological costs that go with changing, yeah. You know, in midstream, the sense of failure or defeat or just, you know, the self-esteem loss that comes with feeling that, you know, you weren't able to do this as you had planned. And of course, if you do truck on through and finish the degree in a field that doesn't fit you, then you're kind of setting yourself up for, you know, continuing challenge to sustain performance in a field that you're not, you know, really passionate about. So there's a lot of long-term implications here for this very important choice.
Well, wouldn't you say also, Marlis, that the way you can, that actually in this day and age there are so many more choices than perhaps there were in the past. And whether
Absolutely.
That because we've been given the opportunity to see a bigger world view of where we could go to school, but then also the number of jobs and categories has proliferated, the number of industries is constantly changing. So it isn't so easy because there's a lot more out there to choose from.
Absolutely. You know, a few years back, especially for a woman, the three choices were nursing, secretarial, and teacher.
There you go.
And that's all changed, you know, dramatically. So it is a very much more complex situation. And another group, too, that we're seeing more of is the veterans who are returning from active duty and now have benefits, you know, that really support their continued education. And these are more mature students and individuals, too, who really don't want to lose any more time, you know, in getting focused and trucking on a career that really fits them. So, you know, it's only logical that they're, you know, seeking more help than maybe we've seen in the past.
Well, Marlis, walk us through what it is that you offer then to a client that would come forward.
Okay. Well, what we try to do is help them to, of course, understand more fully what it is the nature of what they really are passionate about doing. And you might think, well, doesn't everybody do that? If you go onto the Internet and do a search, well, you might get some hits, a number of different resources that suggest ways for people to do this. But if you look closely at these resources, you will find, as I did when I went through this exercise, that there really isn't anything out there that I could find that takes a person through the comprehensive kind of analysis of work-life achievements that gives them the evidence that they need for making these decisions. There are many sites that suggest listing these hobbies or activities or, you know, work kinds of experiences, but nothing that really helps the person to interpret or, you know, understand the implications of the various elements of these activities. So I think our uniqueness is really helping the individual to see the evidence for making a choice that really fits them.
Yeah, and I think, of course, the choice is not just the college major, but then the environment that would fit you well to go and do that work, right?
Yes. There's several facets to the pattern, and I'll speak to that in just a minute. Yes. But the core that we really see as being important in choosing a college major is the subject matter. And sometimes on some of these sites, you'll see comments like, you know, choosing a college major really isn't the same as choosing a career. And we all know, of course, that people do make, you know, shifts from the field that they study to the field they work in. But in this day and age, in this competitive job market, it's really, you know, you're much at a much, much greater advantage to have a degree that is in your subject matter, and to say nothing about how that really, you know, engages your passion and your appetite and puts you in a position to really perform. And we find that the subject matter is one of the most important elements of career choice and fit in a job. I mean, we can shape sometimes other aspects of the environment to fit a particular role, you know, but if the subject matter doesn't fit, it's very difficult to make some of those other adjustments. I mean, if you aren't interested in engineering, for example, as a subject matter, it's very hard to shape a job in the engineering field that really is going to tap into your particular talent and make you competitive. So subject matter fit is really important. And luckily, that's one of the areas that I think that we are really able to find evidence for, even in fairly young people. To find evidence for, you know, making a decision based on evidence.
It's very interesting. I was on the plane last evening. I sat with a woman who is very involved in health and human services out of Washington, D.C. In fact, she works with the Native American organizations all around the country. And she's a doctor, an M.D., and she is also in the IT world running the infrastructure now that services all the Native American hospital and health organizations. And so I asked her, well, how did you get involved in that business? And what she said to me, she goes, you know, my dad always says that from a young child, and they grew up in Pennsylvania, it's not like they even grew up in the West, I was always fascinated with the Native Americans. So it comes back to this idea, and also caregiving. So she tapped in to know that she had this long-time interest in the subject matter, as you talked about.
Right. That's an excellent example. It's always amazing how pervasive that subject matter is. When a person really pays attention to it, it's a tremendous part of that internal guidance system that we try to tap into.
That was like for me. I used to skip school to go to the racetrack in Indianapolis as a kid, and who would have thought that I could build a career on working on Corvettes and Camaros and get paid for it? I felt like I didn't want to let that secret out because somebody might catch me at it.
Interesting.
Yeah, you bet. Well, now, Marlis, again, for those who have not listened frequently, the SEMA process that allows you to do this with your clients, walk us through the steps.
Okay. Well, what it involves is getting the individual to give some detail, both in writing and in an oral interview, about the kinds of things that they have done, the activities, the achievements that they've enjoyed, and they really felt they've done well. And those two criteria are really important, things that they've enjoyed doing and really felt they've done well. And to get enough detail about how the person went about doing it, how they knew how to do it, what particular aspects they found most engaging, just a whole realm of other questions to try to elicit specific information about how that person performs. I mean, just to see them in action. And from that action-oriented kind of evidence, then we define the aspects of what we call their motivational pattern. And there are really five areas of that pattern that link to job, career, choice, and, of course, performance. And just quickly, those are five areas are, one, the subject matter or content that the person wants to work with. Like you mentioned, the cars and the sort of probably the adventure that went with all
oh,
of that.
Oh, absolutely. Being at risk, exactly. Yeah.
Being at risk.
The thrill.
Right. Secondly, the motivated or recurring abilities that they use in their achievements. I mean, we all have a longer set of abilities we use, but we really want to help the individual to spot those recurring or motivated ones that really turn them on. And then, of course, circumstances that trigger and sustain their motivation. I mean, some people are triggered, their motivation is triggered by problems or challenge or adventure or, you know, and others, you know, maybe more by helping or supporting or
sure.
whatever. It's just a range of things that we need to identify about the person. And of course, then there's this idea of definition and structure. Some people, you know, really want a blank sheet to work from. And others really want specifications or requirements or instructions. I mean, there's a whole range here. We need to find out how the person relates to others in their work. I mean, there are some of us that are contributors or influencers or others that are managers or leaders or catalysts or coordinators. And we really need to understand that as well as the overall payoff or outcome that the individual is seeking from their efforts.
Marlis, share with us what your overall payoff is. What and how are you at the core?
Well, my overall payoff is to overcome obstacles and prevail,
mm-hmm.
And to in some way to solve the problem by just you know continuing to hang in there and do whatever it takes to overcome that obstacle. And you know, there's all kinds of examples from both work and life that I could share with you, but the central theme is, you know, I'm not easily put off, and I hang in there until we get the job done. And that really has proved, you know, has been a real asset in working with clients because, you know, that transfers to them. I work with them until we get the problem solved.
You bet. Well, Marlis, now after an individual would have this motivated abilities pattern at their fingertips, you then go to the next step of actually taking that same data and going through some sort of job or career matching scenarios. Is that correct?
Yes. And that's, I think that's another unique aspect of the SEMA analysis and process, and that is we have this very complete information about the person in action, and then we can translate that into what kind of a scenario does it take to really engage those different behaviors. And we do that in two ways. One, by using you know the elements from the pattern to write a best-fit scenario for the individual. And that's often very useful, especially for the more experienced person who may be looking for a different role within a profession. But it also helps sometimes to kind of take people out of a box that they might be, you know, seeing themselves in. And then the second thing is we can do a computerized career match, which compares the motivations, and that's as contrasted to interests. Many of us are familiar with interest comparisons, but this is a motivational comparison to over 400 professions and occupations that have been defined by the motivations that are required to sustain their performance. And this results in a top 10 best fit occupations professions list. And it's often very useful to, you know, get the person to think outside the box and, of course, to pinpoint the college majors that would support those kinds of professions.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting process. Can you share, before we run out of time, a couple examples of some clients that you worked with through this process?
Okay, well, recently I had a call from a fellow I'd worked with about a year ago. That Samuel had been a three-tour Iraqi veteran, been there three times and back, and had really strong motivation to direct the activities of others and to implement policy and really stay on top of things. And he, when we did his work, we decided that safety management would be a good career field for him, and he just buzzed through his degree in it, working in an online program, and he has already got an offer in his pocket.
That's
and he was just very excited about finding a way to use his military experience areas that he was really passionate about in a, you know, civilian occupation.
Well, and at the same way, play to where he's gifted in strength and already naturally fit to do, that he wouldn't have to force fit himself, right?
Absolutely.
Very good. Well,
absolutely.
Marlis, thanks for joining us. And again, Marlis will be with us on a regular basis. You can check out her work at www.simainternational.com, or also you can contact Marlis directly at 209-785-8720. Thanks again, Marlis. Have a great weekend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your interest in my work, Zara.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you real soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care, folks. We're going to be right back with Circles of Change. Thanks again for joining us.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.